It's a wonderful time to know the Savior. It's a wonderful time to know the Lord. Knowing Jesus as the Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you, blessed Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy. We can never thank you enough, Father, for what you have done for us. All that you are, Father, reaching down thy hand and give us a gift. The gift of eternal life in your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for life. We thank you, Lord, for today that we can come together once again. Lord, as you gather at this time now, as you approach thy word, bless, O Father. Bless, O Lord, that thy word will mean much to us, Father, and in knowing and understanding, Lord, who we are and who you are. Father, I commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to John chapter 18:38. I'm going to go slow and break today, maybe, and then next week just continue whatever left over for our fellowship next week. John 18, verse 38. You know, here we read where Jesus was being judged, and he was then standing before Pontius Pilate. Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." What is truth? I find in him no fault at all. On the message today, we all know this very well. I preached this a couple of times and remind you many times about truth. Truth. But what is truth? Let's go to John 14, verse 6. Again, some verses we all know, but I just want you to turn to it. Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This verse is a very well-known verse. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no growing. Now, these are the three things that we all know. The way, the truth, and the life. The way you need to know in order to go. The truth we need to know so that we can know the truth. And the life, of course. The way lead to truth, truth lead to life. And without the life of God in us, there is no growing. When they say, when we talk about growing, we talk about growing in the life, literally the life of God. You understand that? So our subject this morning is just practically truth, because it's so important. So we know the way already. So know the way. You say, I'm the way. The way to what? The way to the Father. No man come unto the Father but by me. And then the other thing is that truth is, what is truth actually? Here we read in the first verse in chapter 18, Pontius Pilate judged him, and there was this conversation. Pilate could not understand. And he knew that Jesus was an innocent man. He was so upset. He said, what is truth, man? What is truth? And he walked out and he told the Jews up there. He says, I find in him no fault. So if the man has no fault, he must be telling whatever he's telling is simply truth. They accuse him of lying, blasphemy, and everything. But what Jesus said was truth. Remember what Jesus said, I'm the Father of one. No man come to the Father but by me. Huh? And they asked him who he was, and he said, Jesus said, he replied with the word, I am. And they know that he was claiming to be the God himself. You see? And what he said was truth. And that's why even Paul was just amazed. So what then is truth? Deuteronomy 32. We read 1, 2, 3, 4, verse 1 onward. Now this is the word of Moses. But practically, it's a song. Sometimes you find it instead of in the psalm and all that, you find it in Exodus, you find it in his five books. Alright? So here is the song of Moses. Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, or that is Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His word is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. So here was a song of Moses, the way he sings. And then he ascribed to what God is. When we look at this verse 4, he described God the way he described it. As the rock. His work is perfect. not perfect. All his ways are judgment. Judgment means to say he is just in doing that. Judgment of he whatever he judged is justice, is justified. Okay. A God of truth, without iniquity, without any wrong or imbalance, just and right is he. Just and upright, as to say he is. So we have that then. So, now, the word truth in Hebrew comes from the word emeth or emuna, which means to say that he is steadfast. There is steadfastness in God. Truth is steadfastness. Reliability. Can we all rely upon God? You see, while we are talking about truth, the thing, one important thing is to know is that when we talk about truth, what are we really talking about? Huh? When we talk about truth, what are you talking about? Here in Singapore, we have multicultural, we have multiracial society. Huh? There are different religions. And you know, if you talk to any of your friends who are in their religion, they are not in Christianity, but in the faith of the Bible, or in faith in God, that we know of, the God of the Bible, they say that they believe what they believe, right? Even those who are superstitious. When I think about being superstitious, I always think about Sister Joyce. You know, I remember one time when we were having an apostolic fellowship and I was preaching and I mentioned about how many of you are superstitious and, you know, put up your hand and a few of them put up their hand. Sister Joyce said, yeah, you're superstitious. I was very superstitious. Yeah, there are a lot of people that are superstitious in this world. And there is no way sometimes, you know, when people are steeped into their belief, to them it is truth. So the question Paulo was asking, what is truth then? What is truth? After Paulo was a Roman. I mean, he had his gods or goddesses too. You know, you got these, all these gods that they have in Romans. Among Roman people, that, you know, that guy, okay, let me, my half-siblings, you know, they said, you know, we are Chinese, even just like my father, you know, to believe in Christ Jesus, to him is a Western God. You get what I'm saying? A lot of people think that when you talk about Christianity, it's always the West. China, India, over this part of Asia, it's not about Jesus. It's about Buddha, Krishna, and whoever else, I don't know. There are so many. In India already, I was told there are 5 million of them. And in China side, of course, they have their own. So if you ask people of their faith, to them it is truth. That's not why here in Singapore, we don't go out there and put out racist slur and a religious slur against that person. You understand what I'm saying? We don't do that. We need to respect the other person's belief, whatever, even though we don't believe what they believe, but they believe what they believe, they don't believe what we believe. Obviously, right? So there is to say, to each his own. But the question is, look at what Pontius Pilate said. What is truth? So do you know what is truth? Is truth just about, we take the Bible. This is the word of God. It contains truth. It is truth. Whatever we want to believe here, you as a Christian, the Bible is truth. So when you talk about truth, what is truth? When you're looking at the Bible, well, we Christians say the Bible is the word of God. Yes? The Bible is the word. What do you mean by the Bible is the word of God? Well, you look in the Bible and say, hey, there is the word of Satan speaking too. There is the word of Judas Iscariot. There is the word of some wicked one, Cain. The word is there. So when we talk about the Bible being the word of God, we are talking about what? The revelation. What is expressed as to be truth. Truth is not just what is written. We have a contract. You know, your insurance, whatever, you take whatever contract you have. They are in fine print. Everything is written there is truth. It's an agreement, it's truth. What if you break it? It's the law. Yeah, the law is truth because that's what he stands for. You see? But that's what it is. But when the actual event takes place, when amateur event takes place, then you have to present yourself to the court and see where you actually stand. Because those truths are just guidelines, practically. All right. Let's go to Psalms 93 and verse 5. Thy testimony are very sure. Holiness become thy house, O Lord, forever. Thy testimony are very sure. So I want to bring it up because throughout the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, there are so many verses of scripture that confirm or keep on reminding us about what truth is. But when you read about this, you understand that he's speaking of something. I hope that you are getting what I'm saying. I'm not going to tell you that until I want you to soak it in. Alright. Psalms 31, verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. His testimony are true. And here he says, O Lord God of truth. Does God ever speak a lie? The Bible said God is not a man that he should lie. There is no falsehood in God. The Bible keep on telling us that. Of course, this is the Psalm of David. And of course, it reflects the Lord Jesus Christ, who later on on the cross, he quoted this verse, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast renamed me, O Lord God of truth. And this is one assurance that every one of us should have. When I am dying, I'm committing my spirit to God. Alright? Because he has redeemed me. Not just like many people who have no religion, no faith, nothing. They don't want to believe in Christ as Savior because they don't believe that they need the Savior. But when on the deathbed, they are grasping a straw. And maybe in the last moment they will grab Christ. But I do not know how many really on their deathbed are like the thief on the cross who truly recognized Jesus Christ being who he was. There are a lot of people on the deathbed who grabs every religion thinking that one of them might save him. Either we have understanding of what the Bible is talking about, O Lord God of truth. This is the God of the Bible. Psalms 119. And verse 160. This is the longest psalm in the Bible. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endure forever. Thy word is true from the beginning. God never changes mind about his word, that's for sure. Never do. So now, when we talk at Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, He is the rock. Through this rock. You know, when a man, in those days when a man, I mean nowadays I don't know how many people really, people are more corrupt, so they don't really keep their word. In early days when, you know, when people made an agreement, the verbal word, they would keep their word. But as more as the world, you know, continues to this age, there are more people more corrupt. So they say, okay, I keep my word, I promise you this and that, but never did. And sometimes you don't trust anybody anymore. Please write on a piece of paper, or make some, you know, and sign for it. And see how people went about scamming people. Things are never delivered. So your word is truth or a lie, that's simply it. But the Bible tells us that God is true from the very beginning. He is the rock, and true is the rock. You know what a rock is? It's not a pebble. Not a small stone that you hold in your hand. You pick up from the ground. That's, we call that a rock. Yeah, don't throw rocks, you know what I mean? Or don't throw stone, but sometimes it's suddenly the size of a baseball bat, or a baseball, and you throw it, somebody call it a rock, because it's kind of big. But when we talk about the rock, we always think about a rock that is like a fortress, a rock that is stable, like a rock of Gibraltar out there in Spain. You know, well, of course, during the Second World War, they built cannons out there, and, you know, so that the enemy ship would not pass through that the strait into the Mediterranean Sea. Yeah. So what we want, something that is solid, something big. So when we say Christ is our rock, we can rely on Him. In the cleft of the rock, we can be, well, we can hide in the cleft of the rock because He's so truthful and solid to keep us, because He redeemed us. The second other word that we find over in verse 4, Deuteronomy 32 is the word perfect. Let us go to Matthew. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, as your heavenly Father is perfect, our Father here wants us to be perfect. Now, the word perfect here means to be sincere and upright. Perfect not in the sense of, well, we have no mistakes. You know what I mean? If we don't make mistakes, no. Perfect, that means you be sincere. You make mistakes, say, yes, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Huh? Be upright, have integrity. That's the thing that we as Christians need to do. You know, over the years, in my ministry, there are a lot of people finding fault with me. And I said this before many few times already to you, a couple of times really, that there are people that wish me dead. Back in the early years when I was in Africa, in the 1990s, as I said this, some of these ministers who don't agree with me and because they're brand of mine or they have their own idea, and they will come to my lodging room, you know, a little kind of hotel, sort of hotel on the roadside. And they'll come to my room there and prophesy. Oh, but I got you gone. You, because you don't believe the truth, you speak against the prophet or whatever they want to say. And then they'll say, you know, you are cursed with a curse, you will die of a dreadful disease. Now, that's 1990s. Now I have cancerous growth in my body. They said, yeah, it's coming through, right? Yeah, it's coming through. You see, people have that evil thoughts because they don't agree with what you are preaching. They'll curse you in the face. And I know that Paul, in the Bible, if you ever know, notice, there are a lot of people that are so much against him, they want him dead. Even Jesus Christ, they want him dead. Think. And I pray, brother and sister, that you all don't have evil thoughts about a brother or a sister. Sometimes we are upset about someone and then we think bad about them. Never think evil thoughts of anyone. For to think it is to say. And when you said it out, it is to kill. Yes. Just like a believer here in Singapore who thinks he has a ministry. He put on his website and he prophesied that within this year or next year, there was a couple of years back, I would die. A brother, nice would die. You see what I mean? Of course, if you ask him that, he will deny it. So that's not what I said. Oh yeah, that's what he said indirectly. Oh my. I was thinking of that kind of evil thought that people would have. I have grown to be, I have grown in the truth. What is truth? Now let me finish this, then I'll tell you what truth is. Go to the book of Isaiah 45 and verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside God, a just God, a righteous God, a just God. There's no other God beside me. You know, after sometimes, you know, simple verses like that, people believe that they are Trinity, and yet God said, there's no other God beside me. And then you ask them, who said that? Oh, God. Yeah, I said, you have three. Which one? Which one is saying that? He didn't say, the Bible did not say, there is no God beside us. You see the point? It's singular. Of course, they want the Hebrew, the Akkad, and the Yakit, and all the words. They don't even understand the words that we see in the Bible, just like I posted yesterday on the Facebook. That God is one. Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New. Nice saying. And there is one that say, I saw you on some article on the net, Jesus Christ is the Father, was the Father. He is now the Son. Then He comes to the church as the Holy Spirit. So, you know, in this form. So there's a lot of things that you people try to describe God. And in simplicity, they put Jehovah God, Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New. Then sometimes they end up with Jesus only doctrine. They used to say that Jesus Christ is His own Father. Jesus Christ, when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed to Himself. Whenever He lifted up His eyes to heaven, He prayed to Himself. And Jesus Christ sent Himself as a baby in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ sent Himself to die at Calvary. Then He sent the Holy Spirit and He comes as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Him. So, people are really confused and people. And then we get replies of some of them that come and tell me, you know, different things. And one common thing, of course, they want to make Jesus Christ born of the egg of Mary. And sometimes I just refuse to reply to such people who think that they know. And it's a very scary thing when I look at this. I'm trying to help these people understand, but the more that if I try to help them, the worse they become. The more that they argue and debate as if they are right. And that's a lot of why the people are not sincere, not upright. The Bible tells us God is perfect. As the Father in heaven is perfect, be you perfect. Be you upright and sincere in what you are saying. If we do not know, say, we do not know. You understand what I'm saying? Like one brother said one time, many years ago, about this issue. And then after that, that is still continue. And now on the Facebook, of course, when I put out a post, they come in and said, "Oh, new creation, new creatures, subject to the fall and death." I mean, kind of silly question, actually. New creation is subject to the fall and death. Because, you know, they believe the new creation cannot fall and death. Now, I would think about this kind of odd. When you talk about new creation, what is new creation? Are the people looking at truth? Or is it they are looking at their reasoning? And I said this many times, God said, "Come, let us reason together." When God asks you to reason together with Him, He's not asking you to reason with your knowledge and your carnal mind. You're going to reason with the Word of God. So my post on the Facebook is simply this. When Jesus was created, when Adam was created, was he not a new creation? He was a new creation. Then how come he was new creation? Did he not fall? And did not death came? New creation. Jesus was a new creation. He wasn't from the egg of Mary. It was completely a new creation. Overshadowing the womb of Mary. Overshadowing Mary. So a lot of people don't understand the word overshadowing. Oh, overshadowing. God, the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary to purge the sin out of her egg. To make to sanctify the egg and make it clean. And there's no sin in that. The serpent's nature in that egg. Now, we all came from our mother and our father. Is that right? And what's in the father, what's in the mother is in us. So the one said that Jesus must be born of the egg of Mary, because in order for him to feel our passion and feel our sorrow and pain. What? Let me ask you. Adam was a new creation. There was no man ever created. No man was created before him, right? He was totally a new creature. Did he feel pain? Yeah. Of course. If you step on something sharp, you feel pain. That's true, isn't it? But you see, the thing is that Jesus Christ must come from the egg of Mary in order to be having the human side. You don't even know what the word overshadow is. The silly question came out is, what did that embryo in Mary get its nutrient? Where did it get its nutrient? It must get its nutrient from the dust of the earth, of course. Now, let me say this. When God created the heavens and the earth and all the creatures of the fields and the birds of the air, where did he get the nutrients, so to speak, to create a bird? They ask this kind of question, huh? All over the place. How did God create the bird? Did God take the dust of the earth? Nitrogen, potassium, magnesium, iron, and argon, and whatever, so many kinds of, to create a bird? And I said this one thing, the spoken word. As the Bible said, the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary. The word overshadow means to be in that place. God overshadowed the field and said, "Let there be lions." And lion came forth. Overshadowing doing something in that place. May the Lord overshadow us here today. Something God is performing. Overshadow. What the Bible is saying, move what? Move the Spirit, move over us. What's the song? Huh? Sweep over us, yeah. Sweep over us. Move over us. As the Spirit, as the Bible said, and the Spirit of God began to move. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2? Huh? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And then there's verse 8, and the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the water. That is overshadowing, that is moving. God is performing something. When He's performing something, He's there. How He go about doing it, I don't know. What did God create? How did God bring the whole universe? What did God get the dust to build the earth? Huh? You know the mentality of people? It must come from an egg. Yeah, I know we all come from egg and sperm. Chicken come from egg. All the fishes in the sea come from eggs. We all know that. But where did they come? Where did God get all the eggs? I mean, you think about the silliness of this whole thing. The wisdom of man is stupid sometimes. I call it smartness. One of the reasons the Bible, one of the reasons, as God said, let's reason together. Use the word. Here is truth. Not scientific. People want to believe that until science proves it, I won't believe. Oh, well, I'm so sorry for you. How do you prove God? You're not saying it's a proof God and yet you don't believe it? And you want to see one raised from the dead? When you believe? And if you believe because someone you see somebody raised from the dead, and then you believe, then that's not faith. That don't need faith at all. That is just simply facts. Yeah, someone raised from the dead. And even someone raised from the dead, say, oh yeah, that maybe the person is not really dead. You know, that's what we call. There are people who died and you know they revive. Then maybe he's not actually dead. I hear all kinds of stories, true story reported. Very terrible things. People died and was in the mortuary. They brought the person to the mortuary. And I don't know where you heard about it. Especially it's a woman, a young lady, what they died in the mortuary. And then this worker in the mortuary raped a corpse. Someone saw that the woman survived. Wake up from the tent. Scared the hell out of the mortuary worker. And these have been cases like that reported. So they, would they believe it? The one raised from the dead? Interesting, isn't it? Alright. Revelation 15, verse 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and truth are thy ways, thou King of saints. Just and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9. Now we look for the other one as about what is truth and faith. Well, truth basically equals to faithfulness as well. Alright, reliability, steadfastness. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandment to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. That's a long time. Now, therefore the Lord thy God, He is God, He is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, who keepeth covenant and mercy unto them that love Him. He seems to say that God only keeps His covenant with those that love Him. For those who don't love Him, He never keeps His covenant. Oh, that's not true, huh? The thing is, God never breaks His covenant. If you love God, the covenant still stands. If you don't love God, the covenant still stands. You're already judged by the covenant. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's covenant in itself too. Because He sent His only Son to save you, right? The covenant. And you believe in Him, you're saved. If you don't believe in Him, how can you be saved? The covenant still stands. God never breaks His word. God does not change His mind about His promises, His word. Psalms 26. Well, I could see everyone here turning your Bible. That's good. That is not why I do not want to print it out and read it. I want you to turn your Bible. So your Bible would be in a very terrible condition. I want to see a Bible that is in a bad shape. So I know that you are in good shape. There's always the truth. How many of you think that I'm in good shape? My Bible has gone through, I think, 3 times of rebinding. And all my notes is already almost gone because they came on cutting it down. I couldn't see what's in my notes all cut off. So I'm in good shape. That is true. The Bible is to be used, not to be kept. Okay? Some people said that it's a sacred book, so you cannot Take good care of it. Dust it every day. Read it with the glove on as you turn your pages. Oh my. And even some last time I used to use it years ago. Some people said that, hey, when you put your Bible on the chair, be very, very careful. You won't accidentally sit on it. It's no good. How many of you have accidentally sat on your Bible? Yeah. So to them, you sit on the Bible, that means you have desecrated the Word of God. What is the Word? What is the truth? That's what I want to ask you. What is the truth? The Bible contains truth. The Bible is not the truth. If you thought the Bible is the truth, you must say when you talk about the truth, when I said it's not the truth, because why? There are all words down there that are recorded, spoken of by different people, different ones. The Bible is the holy sacred scripture of God, yes, but what is sacred scripture? God inspired to be written so that when it is spoken and interpreted, it brings forth life. Otherwise, the Bible is a dead book. Do you understand? As much as it contains truth, as much as it is the truth pointing to something and whatever, the Pharisees read it, the Pharisees studied, theologians studied through centuries. Did they get it right? Because it's dead. Until the Holy Spirit anoint you. If the Holy Spirit does not anoint you, open your eyes to see and make sense out of it to you, it's just dead letters of the Word of God, or the commandment of God, of the law. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus Christ. We have Abraham as our father. We have the prophet of Moses. Yeah, and Jesus said, if you know them, you will know me. For they testify of me. Amen. Oh, you testify in every word? I mean, there's a record about Cain and how he killed Abel and how the Cain shot at God. How did this thing testify of Christ? Huh? All these piece of puzzles are events pointing to one central person, one central theme, one particular figure. So, when I ask Jesus, what is truth? The truth is standing right now. He said, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Jewish people, did they see who this man is? That's why the question through the corridors of time, what would you do with this man called Christ? What would you do with this man? Oh, he's a false prophet. Away with him. He's a blasphemer. Away with him. Crucify him. This question has been going on through the corridors of time. And you know, I'm so happy, I'm so glad that I am a child of God. Yes, I am. So, he's a faithful God. When we read over in what is the verse now, we have, what's it? Huh? Oh, okay, I forgot the backwards, sorry. Psalms 26, let me read it that again. Psalms 26, and verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have walked in thy truth. Now that's Old Testament, of course, walking in thy truth. So now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 again, where we read in verse 4, without iniquity. Now we come to that, we have seen the rock, the perfect, just truth. Now, without iniquity. Let's go to Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter 19. And verse 7. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of person, nor taking of gifts. You cannot bribe God. Father in heaven, you know, I have been very faithful to you. So I deserve a blessing, right? Now, when we want to do a service for God, you know, the Friday when Brother Paul was sharing about us doing God a service, do service to the Word of God, you know, we have to have full desire put into it. It's just what they built over there in the Jerusalem, the temple. And do you know what God is wanting you, every one of us, to serve Him? How to serve Him? As I said last in our last series on the life of the body of Christ, know your place, know your position. And we are all building a temple. And then from temple, we're enlarging it, become the holy city, New Jerusalem. And there will always be enemies coming against us, trying to tear us down, trying to destroy what we built. And that's why we built. We need to have a sword in our hand as well to fight the enemies. Alright, that's what we read in this Chronicle 19 verse 7. Let us fear. Now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Now, what fear means? Reverence. Remember, as God said, you call me Master, then where is my honor? You call me Lord, then where is my honor? And I tell you, it's the same thing. When we want to honor God, when we come fellowship, let us be really in tune for fellowship. Not us drag our feet and dilly-dally. No, I think that this is very common among people. And you know what I don't like to see people going to church with? When I saw the charismatic people, when they go to church, young men wear cargo pants, short cargo pants. Oh, huh? Slippers too, yeah. Not that they have any problem with the legs. I don't understand. You go to church, you want to go your best. You know, to who to meet? As I always said, you're meeting God. You're meeting your Lord and your God. Your Savior, your Master. Amen.
What about the poor? The poor is the poor. Even the poor were the best. But we are not the poor here. You know, one time when I was in Philippines, the first time when I was in Philippines, Butuan City, they come for the convention, they can see. They wear a t-shirt with the advertisement of Coca-Cola. Life goes better with Coke, you know? Yeah. And then they have all other t-shirts with all that. And I have to tell them, please don't come to church wearing this kind of a t-shirt. You come into church to advertise. Want people to drink Coca-Cola? Oh. You know, and there are people who say, what if they don't have? That's the only t-shirt, really? That's the only t-shirt you have? I have those. What if that's the only t-shirt? Really, only t-shirt? I don't think so. When I was in Africa, in a convention in Uganda, you know, those brothers, they cycle all the way down from far, come for the convention. And they stay there for the whole week. Yeah? And I see this brother wearing the same shirt, wearing the same trousers, practically. But he makes sure that he clean himself. Yeah? Or he borrows somebody's shirt and sleep in the night and then wash the one that he's wearing for the fellowship in the morning. You know. If you want to be unkempt, we will always be unkempt. Right? Oh, what about John the Baptist? Look at him, he's a wild man. He wear camel skin, okay? That's a wild man up there in the camel skin. Are you going to wear camel skin? Then you live in the jungle. And some people talk to me in some kind of strange way. I don't understand. You are supposed to be Christian. Like one brother many years ago, they came to Singapore. And I met him. I went to pick him up in the hotel room. And I stand on the door. And now he opened the door. And I look at in the hotel room. I asked him, I said, what is that television facing the wall in the corner? Oh, brother, that's an evil thing. I'm just going to puzzle. I said, how is that an evil thing? Oh, brother Blam said so. You know, so if you have television, you throw it out the window or you shoot it out with a shotgun. You know how people are so religious that they have no common sense? I said, brother, that's not an evil thing. No, that's a dumb thing. Huh? And this is Singapore, not in America, not in Europe, where you got all the blue channels and all the red light channels. And it's that's a man then who is using that TV, you know how you turn? That the man is evil, not the TV, it's not evil, it's just a dumb thing. He's just give a little giggle. I wonder. And some people talk about use a common sense. I mean, use a spiritual mind, use a spiritual sense. And I wonder how many Christians really have spiritual sense when they don't even have common sense. You know what I mean? In order for your spiritual sense, it will be higher than the common sense. Yet if you don't have common sense, you can't even think right. What is truth then? Alright. So, just and upright, you see, he is not without equity. Let us go to, let me see that. 1 Corinthians 13:10. I want to give you, this will be a clue for you to understand. 1 Corinthians 13:10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, what is this Bible here talking about? Denomination, I can tell you this, I know of. Paul was talking in chapter 12 about the gifts. Alright, about the gifts. So we know in part, we prophesy in part, and so on and so forth. Then here it says, when the perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, denomination said that, yeah, that's why we don't need a prophecy anymore. There's some churches do not believe in prophecy. They give a prophecy anymore. Okay, they don't believe in speaking in tongues anymore. So they don't even believe in the apostles, the prophet anymore. Because why? They have, why? Because the perfect is coming. To them, the perfect is the Bible. The word perfect here in the Greek word is telios. It means that it's complete. Yeah. To them, they look at the word complete as to the complete 66 book that makes the one volume of the Bible. So they said, well, this is already come. So we don't need all those other gifts. Huh? But here was what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about the complete one, the complete man. The perfect, complete man. Who is that? Who is that? When the perfect is come, when the complete man comes, then all this part will be done away with. We don't need it anymore. Huh? The perfect man. He is the rock. He is just. He is the truth. He is upright. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth. He is the truth. I am the truth. I am the life. So what is truth? Truth is not about a doctrine. Huh? Truth is not about the knowledge of what you know in the Bible. Understanding what the Bible teaches. Oh, the truth that there is one God. Good. The truth about baptism must be in Jesus' name. Good. Truth that there is no such an eternal hell. Good. Truth is that, oh, there, the serpent is not a snake. And the cane was a serpent seed. Good. Oh, Christ is coming by. That's the truth. Good. What else? Truth is not just these things. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the truth. Without me, there's no knowing. Now, if you're not born again, look at the Catholic Church. Do you think the Pope knows what they know? Are they teaching the truth in the first place? The priests? And what's ever going on in the system or any system? They claim to know. They claim to be the church, so to speak. Are they really, really in the truth? Because if you are really in the truth, you have to be in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the truth. He is the truth. So I am the way. The way to what? The way to the Father. Why? Then He said, I am the truth. Because I have the truth to take you to the Father. I am the truth. And I am the life. Because the Father gave it to me. And I'm bringing you back to Him. Everything about truth is in a person. In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1 comes before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word was then made manifest, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. That's truth. Logos. Revealed to us. When you receive that Logos, you are not receiving what? Some words. You are receiving a person. So when we walk with the Lord, what are we walking? We are walking with Him. Huh? We're not walking down the road and say, walking with the word, there's one God, and there is what better than Jesus. And you're not walking with this kind of thinking. You're walking with a being. You're walking with someone who is real. That's what truth is all about. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 30. Right, Deuteronomy 32, verse 30 to 31. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them out? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemy themselves brings being judges. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Now that's interesting. Here this is talking about paganism. Their gods. I remember what I was told by Sister Tracy concerning her brother. Because they are not believers at that time when they were young, you know, and the special one of them says, Oh, yeah. Your God is bigger than our God. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know whether you heard people said that or not. They have so many deities to them which is called gods, which are not gods. But they will acknowledge that our God is bigger than their God, our rock is bigger than their rock. It seems like, you know, when you read like this, in the children are playing. Huh? They play whatever it is and play, say, oh, my rock. Your kids say, oh, my rock is bigger than your rock. Okay, now I get a bigger one. My rock is bigger than your God, your rock. Things like that, you know. So here, there's the word rock here is not just, you know, it's what we call that, euphemism, what do you call that? Analogy, yeah. Something that represents something. Our rock is a sure fortress. And that's for sure. Alright, so now, God will keep His covenant and save His people from insecurity because He's the rock. Let us go to a few more verses and we close with this. Psalms 31. Psalms 31 verse 6. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Now this is King David's psalm. Where he read in verse 5 early on, into thy hand I commit my spirit, means the King David is committing his spirit to the Lord for his undertaking. Not because this verse was uttered by Christ as at a dying moment, yes we know. But King David was not saying that in my dying moment I'm saying this, no. He said, we all should be committing our spirit to the Lord every day. Correct? For his guidance. That thou may redeem me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. What is lying vanities? What is a lot of anything that you believe in? Idols, images, you know, your vain imagination, anything, soothsaying, go to a fortune teller. Yeah. I mean, I walk in the Chinatown area, there are still some people trying to, try to foretell your fortune. And people believe in that, lying vanities? Right. Isaiah 41, verse 29. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. And that is so true. in olden days, all this, and that's why God called the children of Israel out of all this idolatries and all this paganism and make them his people. And yet his children of Israel still wanted to go back to worshipping them. I can never understand how many of you want to go back to worshipping idol if you came out from idol. I cannot understand. Oh, I thank God for that. Oh, maybe you don't go back to idol, but I know there are idols in your life. Yeah. There are people now. Some brother in Africa was telling me recently about, you know, this marriage issue, you know. This marriage issue and the thing about how young believers in the church going around courting each other. You know, and there are some brothers, believers, after they caught a girl and then married and or maybe courting with her for a while, for several months, and then after they drop her and then go another one and then drop her and then went another and drop. Yeah. Yeah, and then there are those that married a few times. Even one brother Jean-Marie was speaking to me from Paris about how he had to deal with this marriage and divorce issue. And how that he was bold enough to preach against all that, and he shocked the whole church. Think about it. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Yes. So we know now, when we talk about truth, I remember what is that, I don't remember, I think there was an X-File. Those days, back in the days when many years ago they had this X-Files series on television, the truth is out there. Something like that, right? If I remember, the truth is out there. Yeah. If only these people who believe in lying vanities were to look for the truth that is out there. And you know something? Even as much as we have the truth, not just the truth, per se, of the words that you find in the Bible, but we have the truth, the very person. We still have to grow in grace. And we've got to learn more of the truth from the truth person. Some people say, oh yeah, I have Jesus Christ, you know. And then they don't seek for more truth. They don't talk to Jesus. They don't talk to him for more truth. They're just very comfortable. Thank you, Lord. Then I'm saved. Thank you for saving my soul. And they don't further seek for the truth. I'll close here, but I want to read something here. I don't think I would put it next week. I'll probably read it again next week, but let me read something here. Something that I don't know if I can hold my emotion. Yeah, let me try to read it. Hold back my emotion. I walked with the Lord for so many years. And yesterday, I was looking through for the album, looking for something that I remember taking a picture of something that to try to recall how many years ago. And I was looking at the old photograph in the days when I was celebrating my 21st birthday. You know, so. And in the photograph, in the album, there was this picture I don't even recall. When I look at it, the 21st birthday, there was a photograph where after everybody left, I don't know who took a picture of me sitting at a table with the gifts from the Christian believers at that time. And I was just looking up, and the picture was taken. And in the photo album, in those days I always put some wordings, and there was these wordings with in a bubble, you know, with a, like cartoon, you know, you draw a bubble, and then with this little balls that you have somebody that I'm thinking. I said, Father in heaven, take control of my life. And I look at it, oh, that's so many years back, 53 years back. Because that is in 1969, when I was 21 years old. 2 years later, I came to the message. But while at that time, when I was still in the Assemblies of God, the Lord was already dealing with me. And when the message came, I realized there's something going on. Now here is something that I have kept for a long time. Let me read it to you. Why can't I be like other people, Lord? So oft I cry. I see the callous multitude go laughing, passing by. Why must I bear this burden? It seems that I must die. Then the answer comes, have I not chosen you? I cry, O Lord, why am I make a laughing stock to fools? Why can't I lightly turn aside from the other people's woes? What is it that from year to year I bear the worldly blows? Then the answer comes, have I not chosen you? And someday when I'm crowned within that home beyond the sky, I'll ask, why am I on a task? Why countless ages fly? He'll smile and answer sweetly with love light in his eye, my child. It is because I have chosen you. You know, I don't cry easily at the pulpit, but in the last few years when I get old, I'm very emotional because working all these so many years with the Lord, with truth himself, facing all the struggles and the joy. I cry because of joy. In my own time, my room, I would praise the Lord and dance in the room, just worshiping Him. Yeah, for many years ago, when I would alone, I would sing and I would just dance and worship Him. Because to me, the truth of life Himself is real to me. And I want it to be to every one of you. Not just be a Sunday church goer, but be an everyday children of the living God. Amen? God bless every one of you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Lord. We often, while we're on this earth, Lord, we ask lots of questions. We ask a lot of questions, surely, Father, you know that. Why this, why that? But we are thankful, Father, because you have chosen us. You have chosen us. And you did not choose us to give us a bed of roses. There are a lot of thorns on the way in this journey, the way to you, Father. It's filled with thorns. We are thankful nevertheless, Father, we know how difficult it is, but yet you have set us the example in Christ Jesus. And if you have gone through all that for us, one who sinneth not, took sins upon himself in the darkness that swallowed him up in the pain that he had to go through. Oh Lord, you have chosen to give life to us in your only begotten Son. It got to be very, very, very painful. So much so, Lord, Jesus felt that you have forsaken him. And truly, Lord, in this life we walk and we, you know, in this journey with you, sometimes we feel so much pain. But Lord, we know you are always with us. And you will always be there for us. We thank you, Lord. And as we see the world crushing in, O Father, upon the people of the earth is so much in travailing, oh Lord, the pain now. Lots of people are suffering, there are droughts and famine, there's lack of food in many countries. And the people are dying of some other sources, Lord, fighting, racial unrest. And all the natural disasters as well, typhoon, hurricanes, earthquake that's going to come more and more now, Father, we know. But Lord, we're watching. We are in supplication as to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for truth. Thank you, Lord, for being our truth. We thank you, Father. Bless all this now, Lord. Commit all the words that spoken, Father, into thy hand, that you will help every one of us to further digest it, O Lord, that we grow thereby in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.